called this dua to one of the greatest Sahaba with the name of Abu Salama. And Abu Salama taught this dua to his wife, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. So I want to give you a little background about the life of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. She was among very few Sahaba who migrated twice, one time to Abyssinia and the other time to Al-Madina. But as she's leaving Mecca to migrate to Al-Madina along with her family, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu and Salama, the tribe of Abu Salama caught wind of this. So they actually prohibited Abu Salama and Ummu Salama and Salama to migrate together. They forced Abu Salama to migrate to Al-Madina and they sent Ummu Salama and Salama back to Mecca. So that was the first hardship that Ummu Salama went through. Now she was forced to be separated from her own husband that she loved so much. Abu Salama was such a great man with a very good character. And Ummu Salama, it was just heartbroken. She was heartbroken. It was heartbreaking for Ummu Salama to process the idea that she will be separated from her own husband. But the difficult time did not stop right there. The clay or the tribe of Abu Salama decided to take her own son because they said that it belongs to Abu Salama. It means that it belongs to us. So we will take that son away from his mother. And imagine just, you know, being separated from first from your own husband, but now from even your own son. What a test. What an abtila. You know, when you are tested with your own, you know, wealth, your own property, obviously it's a big test. And when you're tested with your own health, it's also a big test. But the test of your own children and your own spouses, this is unmatched test. It's just a very hard time for Ummu Salama to try to go through. But Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, obviously she was heartbroken. She actually used to go to the spot where they took away her son every single day for almost a year. And she cries over there. She prays to Allah for Allah to bring her back her own son. And then eventually, after 1 year, the tribe of Abu Salama, you know, they used to observe her every single day, comes to that spot, cry to Allah for, you know, for her own son. So Allah has sent some of the mercy on their hearts, so they accepted the fact that they will give her son back. When that happened, finally, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha was able to migrate with her own son to see Abu Salama radiallahu anhu in Al-Madina. But the problems, her problems, her difficulties did not stop there. Subhanallah, when she just got a little bit of hope, again, the calamity strikes one more time, where she sees now her own husband on his deathbed. Because he received this, dangerous wound during one of the battles. And now she said to Abu Salama, "Ya Abu Salama, let's make a promise. If one of us passes, let's make a promise that we will not remarry again." And Abu Salama looked at her and said, "You know, I want you to remarry if I pass away. I want you to remarry someone better than me, inshallah. Allah will give you a better husband." And then he taught her this beautiful dua that we're going to be learning together, inshallah ta'ala. He told her, "Ya Ummu Salama, say, Allahumma ujurni fi musibati. Ya Allah, reward me for the calamity that I'm going through. And then, wakhlufni khayran minha. And replace that calamity with something better." I repeat the dua again. It's beautiful dua, very powerful dua. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati. Ya Allah, reward me for the calamity that I went through. Wakhlufni khayran minha, and give me something even better. Replace it with something greater. Now, if you look at this, subhanAllah, when Abu Salama passes away, and Umm Salama started to make that dua, Ya Allah, reward me for my calamities, all of the hardships that I went through, and replace it with something better. Wallahi, looking at this, there's so many reminders and lessons that we can unpack from this dua at that moment of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. Number one, she flipped the script. She went from this psychology of deprivation to a psychology of abundance. What does that exactly mean? She did not look at herself and say, you know what, I'm a failure. You know what, I'm a loser. You know what, it's my fault. You know what, I made wrong decisions in my life that brought me to that point. She did not blame herself. She did not point, you know, the finger to herself. She did not turn the mirror towards herself and she started to blame her own self. In fact, she thought positively about it. She said, Ya Allah, all what I want from you right now is a reward. I deserve a reward, Ya Allah. Give me a reward and replace it with something better. You see here that her psychology at this point is thinking about a reward. And in fact, she is, you know, in a moment of calamity. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing to reflect on. SubhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, in our deen, we have an amazing concept that when somebody goes through hardships, in our deen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised that there is a reward for whoever is going through difficult time. And if this reward is not here, because you may think, well, I lost somebody who is very dear to me. How is it possible to actually replace that? There's no way I can replace that. Or even think about something in your life that you really think that there is no replacement here in this dunya for that loss or for that calamity. But what is beautiful about our deen is that even if you are not rewarded in this life, you will be rewarded in the akhirah. I mean, there are some people really go through difficult time processing this. You know, recently, I was visiting one of my family members who was diagnosed with cancer. And I was at the surgery room looking at him, you know, going through that surgery. I was picturing this after you know, the surgery, alhamdulillah, was very successful, and they were able to remove that, you know, cancer from the organ, and alhamdulillah, he's doing amazing now, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, may Allah give him full shifa. But I was reflecting on this, and I was, you know, thinking, let's say that the time I spend during that surgery is a video of 20 minutes. If I were to look at the first 10 minutes of that video, I will see somebody who's getting opened, blood is dropping everywhere, that the skin is getting opened, the flesh is getting opened, it's very painful. If I pause the video in the first 10 minutes, I will think that this is an absolute evil. But if I resume the video, and I finish the video of 20 minutes, and I see that alhamdulillah, the surgery is very successful, and alhamdulillah, he started, you know, now healing all of his, you know, flesh and all of his skin is started to heal. Now he's going to be in much better, you know, shape. I will look at it in a different lens. I will actually never think that the first 10 minutes is an absolute evil. It's actually not an evil at all. Because if that didn't happen, he would not reach to the moment of heal. Now, this example brings us to think broader than this. The whole idea of the existence of evil. And I want you to pay attention with me. Now, in Islam, there is an amazing aspect that if you will not be rewarded in this life, you will be rewarded in the hereafter. Now, the non-Muslims look at this and they really have a hard time processing the idea of the creation of the existence of evil. Because they say, you know, now, why this is happening and what is the reward of that? If somebody is going through, you know, difficult time, and there is no way he can get compensated in this life because they don't believe in the hereafter, they have a hard time processing it. So they will say it's unfair. It's not adil. While in Islam, we believe that if you are not going to be rewarded in this life, if you're not going to be rewarded in this life, there is an eternal reward on the Day of Judgment. So if you look at it through the lens of dunyawi, the lens of dunya, it's absolutely evil. There's no way. You don't deserve, you know, that hard time that you're going through, and you're going to pass away, and there is no Day of Judgment. Where is the adil here? Where is the justice? So if you look at it from the dunyawi perspective, from the dunyawi lens, you will have a hard time processing this. I'll tell you that. But subhanAllah, in our deen, Allah said it in the Quran, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When a calamity strikes, they say, we belong to Allah and we shall, you know, return to Him back. What does that mean? You're reminding yourself that there is going to be a reward in the Day of Judgment, and that what matters the most. You're refreshing your faith by saying, even though I don't get the reward here, there is still, you know, definitely a chance to get that reward on the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, you will look back and say, Alhamdulillah, that I had this calamity. Now I will get the reward, the eternal reward. Allah said after this, إِنَّا اللَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Three things will happen to the people that they have belief during the time of a calamity. Three things. First, they will be blessed. عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. These blessings will, they will be showered with these blessings. And again, I will remind myself and you, if it's not here in the dunya, it will be in the akhirah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. That they will also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower them with mercy. And then He said, and they will be guided. I mean, if you have this mindset, it means that Allah has guided you. It means that Allah has put you in the right thought process. And therefore, you will be able to process that. My dear brothers and sisters, the dua of Umm Salama brings so much khair. She, you know, she was just thinking that, well, I'm not going to be in this black hole. I still see light at the end of the tunnel. I still want the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to look at it as something that's the end of the journey. Because if that happens, it will prevent you from finding another alternatives or another solutions of your own problem. Sometimes a calamity strikes and there is actually a room for you to work on. Sometimes you need to figure things out. And if you go with the perspective that it's all done, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, it will prevent you from finding solutions and alternatives. Just think about it. Think about hard time that you went through. And think about it now. And think about what, you know, what possibilities that you had at that time, but you did not think about it because you were so into that calamity to the point that it refrains you from looking at the bigger picture. So again, a dua that gives me and you hope. A dua that gives me and you patience. A dua that can give me and you faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, faith in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me and you among those who learn the deep meaning of this dua. Again, I'll say this dua, and I pray that we all can utilize this weapon. This is very powerful dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, Allahumma ujurni fi musibati. Ya Allah, reward me for my own, for the calamity that struck me, وَخْلُفْنِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا, and replace it with something better. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسلافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وأقم الصلاة.